Praise the Lord. We've been talking about producing and that's just something that the Lord has given us, be the most productive year that we've ever had. I'm reading something here in 2 Thessalonians. How many know that we got an enemy that don't want us to produce? What's it say here in 2 Thessalonians 2? Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. I may believe we're living in the last day. Amen. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. I'm going to stop right there. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for everything, Lord, that you've spoken to us already today. Lord, your spirit, your presence, Lord, the wonderful time that we had with the men in fellowship. Lord, and we just believe it today, God, that you're just going to give us something before we leave this place. Lord, just begin to speak to the church, God. You're doing great things, Lord, with the elders and with the young and the youth, Lord. And Lord, we want to see continue that. We want the church to continue to grow and to be blessed spiritually, physically, financially. Lord, and we believe that, Lord, it's up to you. God, we put it all in your hands. You've got a plan for this church and for your people, and we're ready to receive everything that you have today. Give us relevant revelation of your word. We'll claim it together in Jesus' name. I believe that one of the last signs of the coming of the Lord is upon us. I'm talking about the falling away. You know, right now that there are more than 72 millennials in America. That's young people between the 20s and the 30s. Almost a quarter of the population, and an increasingly large percent of the millennial generation has walked away from the faith of any kind, choosing to identify as religious nuns, N-O-N-E-S. In 2008, researchers noted that 31% described themselves as religiously unaffiliated. 10 years later, in 2018, that number had grown to 42% say that they have no connection to church at all. Church membership in America has declined over the decades. In 1937, 73% of this country went to church. Even in early 1980s, boy, think about this, even in the Reagan years, more than 70% of America were church members. I can remember when my dad was preaching, and we would hold tent meetings, and big tent meetings. At the end of the tent meeting, usually after a two-week revival, he would come and he would preach and take members into the church. That would be one of the most exciting nights. That would be probably the biggest crowd, because they'd love to come and hear my dad talk about, you know, what the church believed. And they would come and they would clamoring to join the church. And I read that in 2000, 65% there was a decline. In 2010, there was only 59% that were in church. By 2020, it was 50%. And now in 2023, it's less than 50% of this country is active in church today, belong to a local church. And we start thinking about that. And if you think about it, if you look around Ponca City, there's churches on every corner almost. But at the same time, how many churches, even here in Ponca, have declined? Somebody listening. There have been churches in this town that have declined. Some don't exist anymore. There's even one church that used to be a church is now a daycare. Well, this is now not a new phenomenon. Throughout history, many have come to Christ only to fall away. The first generation of Christians faced this challenge. When Paul wrote to the Colossians and to Philemon, he sent greetings from his co-worker Demas. Demas, who was at his side, yet in his final letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul told Timothy, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world." Falling away in the Greek is the word apostasia. That's where we get the word apostasy. Falling away from a previous position. We know, church, that many are falling away because they're being deceived. There are times that there are churches today where preachers are preaching a safe little gospel, tiptoeing around the Word of God like a spiritual minefield, afraid of offending or alienating many of the new secular identity that's being created almost on a daily basis. Do you know that in 2022, that there were 23 new gender and sexuality terms added to the dictionary? In 2022, 23 new terms. Terms like a demisexual or hypersexual or pangender or heteropatriarchy. That means a head of a family whose ideas are anti-gay. In today's terminology, that would be called probably being a bad dad. Falling from a position that they once had. And we see a church, we see this happening in this country that we're living in. There were those churches that were, grew up in church that are, out of church now. There were those that, had a belief in God and had an understanding, of the Word of God and have fallen away from that. Gotten away from that. Much of the church today that once stood for something is now falling for anything. And you think about this. Well, we were talking about this Wednesday night. Why is this? We were talking about Wednesday night. The reason that so many people are emotionally and physically and mentally and even financially unstable. Why that there was so much anger and resentment and rebellion and unhappiness and dissatisfaction in the world today is that people are famished. We're talking about spiritually. The necessary ingredients to be spiritually productive are being omitted from our spiritual diet. A lot of times, sir, I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about your word. I'm talking about fasting, the Holy Spirit, faith, love, repentance, giving, diligence, praise. If these things, church, are missing from our spiritual diet, then all of a sudden we're going to begin to struggle and suffer spiritually. It's being replaced a lot of times today with a generic gospel that's leaving people weak and feeble and unstable spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, unstable, falling all over the place. It's kind of similar. We were talking Wednesday night about when you reach a point where you're physically hungry and it leaves you shaky, wobbly, kind of indecisive at times. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Even when you go through a fasting period, you begin to feel that. You begin to feel a little shaky, a little wobbly. You get to the point that you're not as sharp as you want to be mentally. How many has ever got to the point that you were so hungry you were hangry? Yes. Don's got his hand up back there. He's been fasting. And it's not like, church, we haven't been warned about it. We read about it here in the book of Amos the Wednesday night. Behold, the days will come, saith the Lord, I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread and water, but hearing the word of the Lord. And what was the reaction to Amos's prophecy? Well, it was the cancel culture. They wanted to get rid of him. It's kind of like, even today, we've got the cancel culture. I heard the other day that there's a group in Utah that's wanting to ban the Bible from school because they said it's too sexually and violently explicit. Sounds kind of like, they're wanting a little revenge, and on some of the things that, parents are trying to get rid of out of the school. Now they're trying to, now they're coming and trying to ban the Bible because it's too explicit sexually and it has got and there's violence in it. But when church, the Bible is also explicit about sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. That might be the part they don't like. The Bible is also explicit about the love of God, about forgiveness, about salvation, about redemption, about healing, about deliverance. That's the part that the demonic spirits want to cancel. Yes. That's the part they want to get rid of. That's the part, church, the devil doesn't want you to hear about. The love of God and forgiveness and the power of salvation and redemption and that there's still healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. Devil don't want that. He don't want you to hear that. He don't want you speaking that. He don't want you believing that. He don't want you receiving that. We see this church, you know, it. But we also understand, church, that these things are necessary in our life to keep us from falling. You know, this is the kind of word that needs to be preached, church, to keep the church in a place where we're spiritually able to stand.
Yes.
Bible says we got to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Anybody listening? So for us to be able to spiritually stand, church, to be able to continue in our walk, I think God would like to get us past the walking stage into the running stage. My oldest son was talking about his littlest boy today, River, and how that little guy, he seems to run everywhere. I told the men in breakfast, I said, I don't think he ever walked. I think he just started running. And I think that the Bible says, though, that God can get us to the place, church, that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Somebody listening to me. God's trying to do something for us, get us spiritually stable to that point, church, that we can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Anybody ready for that kind of move of God? How many want God like that in your life, church? Bible said the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and will quicken your mortal body. How many's ever been in a place, God, I need you. I need you to quicken me. Come on, wake up on a Sunday morning and you don't know if you're going to be able to make it to church or not. And Well, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and will quicken our mortal body. We got to speak that. But you can't speak that if you don't know that. So these are things, church, that will make you strong, make you able, make you capable so that you're not stumbling and bumbling through life like, you know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, church, what does it mean, Pastor? Well, we have to continue to grow. God doesn't want us to come to a point where we stop growing in Him. Let me read something to you over here in 1 Samuel chapter 22. Let me read this. It says, and therefore David escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brother and all his father's house heard of it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Boy, just think about that. Here's David, and he's running for his life. This is when King Saul is mad at him because the people, you know, have turned to David. David goes out and slays Goliath, even as a young man. And before that, church, we know that Samuel had come and the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul and God anointed David, even as a young boy, to be king. So he goes out against Goliath and he has got a great victory and all of a sudden the women of Israel are singing, you know, Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed 10,000. And they're all looking to him, and so Saul's angry. He's out to get him. He thinks that maybe I can control him by having him marry my daughter. You know how the women can, maybe at times, anyways. Goes and marries him, and that's not enough. He's still, you know, they're still looking to David. So I got to get rid of him, and he's going to kill him. David's on the run, and he comes to a cave. And I love what it says here, church, because it says that as he this cave, this refuge that he turns to. And everyone that was in distress, his dad and his brothers came down to him. And his dad and his brothers, you know, had been in a kind of a different relationship with him after he was anointed. You know, and after, you know, all of a sudden the brothers, you know, were kind of envious of him. But now they find out that he's in a cave. And they come down to him. You know, God has a way of reconciling things. God can do things, church. God can put you back together. God can restore you like nobody can. Anybody in this place today, oh God, Pastor, I need some things. I've had some things in the past. I've had relationships in the past. I've had some breakthroughs in the past. I just need to see those things happen again. How many know we got that kind of a God? Church is able to do it again. I'm able to bring you together. Even if I got to take you and put you in a cave somewhere. Anybody willing to do this? Because, see, sometimes, church, we don't understand how God works. Sometimes it takes an Esau. You know, anyways. They come down there, and these are men who are in distress emotionally. They're in debt financially. They're discontent, basically, spiritually. How many realize it's only God that can satisfy you? Amen. Take this whole world, give me Jesus. But they came to David, church, like that. But they didn't stay that way. Somebody listen to me. See, we're talking here, church, about a falling away. And how the only thing that's going to keep you from falling away is for you to continue to grow. Come on. God wants you to continue to grow spiritually. God doesn't want us, church, to come to him and get saved and just be saved. God wants us to grow, to get into a place that we know him in a greater way. This is what happens with these men. They come to him in debt and in distress and discontent with life, but they don't stay that way. Oh, yeah, they have their moments. I mean, you know, we have our moments. One or two. 1 Samuel 30, listen to this. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, had taken the women captives and that were there. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men came to the city, and it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And it said David's two wives were taken captive. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Did you hear that? Because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. These are talking about those men that were in distress, those men that were in debt, those men that were, you know, discontent with life. All of a sudden, church, they're having a moment. They come to David in the cave, and now we find them, but you know what I like about it, church? They don't stay that way. Come on, somebody help me. We have to understand, church, there are times that however we come to the Lord, God wants us to come to him as we are. How many know that? My last church and ministry in Arizona, and I was working with a lot of native people, and they were wonderful people. But when I first went out there, they had an idea or a thought that they had to get themselves right before they could come to church. Well, how many realize, church, that God wants you to come just like you are, and it's because of his power and his might and his spirit that makes you right?
Yes.
He wants to be the one that's going to get in there and begin to speak his word to you and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal to us, church, everything that God has for us and how God wants us to live. He wants to make the change. Old things pass away. All things become new. Well, these men come to him, church, in the state that they're in, and they have their moment, you know, when it just seems like, you know, everything's coming against them. But I love the church because they didn't stay that way. First Chronicles, listen to 12, it says here. Now, these are those that came to David at Ziklag while he was yet kept close because of Saul and the mighty men, the helpers of war. And they were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left hand in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. Look at verse 8. Unto David and to the whole of the wilderness, men of might, men of war, fit for battle, that could handle the shield and the buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountain. But just think about this. You know, church, there is a king in heaven who is gathering a people today who are in distress, many who are in debt, many who are dissatisfied, but would rather be in the cave with the anointing than in the palace with Ichabod. Yeah. Come on. Somebody help me. Ichabod means the Spirit of the Lord has departed. And these men, church, would rather find themselves. And do we realize, church, that God is looking for that same kind of people today? God wants us to come as we are, church, but he doesn't want us to stay that way. God's ready, church, to make a change. God's wanting to see us come that way, church, where we may be in distress, or we may be in debt, or we may be discontent with this life. And am I talking to anybody? How many is dissatisfied with this world? Anybody? I mean, I like the way that the world's going right now. Oh, that's better. Nobody. I mean, I think we're heading in the right direction, a good direction. Oh. Yep. I'm going to believe God's got able to do better than that. But a country that falls away from God and falls from a position at one time where in God we trust, we even put it on our money. We put it in our pledges. Church, do we understand that this country has fallen away? This is one of the last signs, church, of the coming of the Lord. And we better recognize it because God doesn't want it happening to the church. Somebody listening to me. God doesn't want it happening to his people, to people that have come and have been blessed by the power and the anointing in the mighty works of God. God doesn't want us to get into the place, church, that we're able and we're willing to be content without the power of God, without the Spirit of God moving in our services and in our homes and in our lives. God doesn't want us to get to the point, church, that we become so wrapped up in the things of this world that we begin to fall away from the things, church, that will get us through the next day. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the relationship with God this morning. We don't want to fall away from that. We got to keep growing in God. This is the way, church, that you keep from falling. This is what makes you strong, where you'll be able to walk like that and be able to run like that and be able, church, to go forward and leap over those walls. We realize, church, because there's, you know what? I'm looking at this, and why is a church that God wants us to grow? Do we understand it's because there's battles to fight, there's victories to be won, there's enemies to be defeated, there's kingdoms to conquer, there's blessings to receive, there's people to save, there's people to heal, there's people that need to be set free? Well, the great missionary to South Africa, Andrew Murray, said, in commerce, in study, in war, it is so often said that there is no safety but in advance. That means going forward. To stand still is to go back. To cease effort is to lose ground. To slack the pace before the goal is reached is to lose the race. He said, the only sure mark of a true Christian as one who really loves Christ is the deep longing and steady effort to know more of him. Somebody listening to this. The only sure mark of a true Christian is someone who's desiring to go forward and continue in effort to know more of him. Boy, if that doesn't speak to the church today, we need help. I read this, church, and I begin to understand exactly what it's talking about here. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, listen to what it says here. We read this here the other night. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. Anybody listen to this? These things make you. This is what makes you productive, is that you continue to grow. Come on, somebody. That you don't just stop, you know, with faith, but you add virtue. And you don't stop with virtue, but you add knowledge. And you don't stop with just knowledge, you get self-control. Come on. And you don't stop there, but you get patience and you get godliness. You get brotherly love for one another. Boy, somebody listen to that. And if these things be in you and abound, come on. Boy, isn't it wonderful how plain that the Word of God is? And what the Word of God will do for you? And what God wants to create in us? Sometimes we have no idea, or sometimes we've forgotten what God is, you know, trying to do with us. Because we get so many ideas of what we want to do with us. We lose sight of what God wants to do with us. God wants to fill us up, church, that we might not just, you know, go forward, but we might abound. Anybody want to abound? Anybody want to be better? Anybody want more than what you are? More than what you have? This is what he's saying. Add to these things. Add to these. Anybody been adding? I know the devil comes to subtract. He comes to take away, doesn't he? Bible says that he is a thief. Come on. What does the thief come to do? Have dinner with you? No, the thief comes to steal dinner. The thief comes to steal everything that you have. He is a liar and a thief, and the truth is not in him. And he's been that way, the Bible said, from the beginning. So he's come to take away. God comes to add to. Oh, come on, Holy Spirit, add to. I loved it with men's breakfast today. How many of the men said that all of a sudden they were confessing how pastor had spoken things at times that offended them? Did you hear this? Confession is good for the soul, they said. You know. They were confessing how many times that pastor had said something that offended them. But then they went and they prayed about it and they realized it was God and it was good for them. Anybody know what I mean? Boy, I'm going to have to get on that sometime. I think God's given us a word on that. But do we understand, church, that God is wanting to do things for us? He's wanting to add to us. And sometimes for him to add knowledge or to add patience or to add self-control or to add godliness or to add that brotherly love, sometimes that it is painful. Because we got to see ourselves as we are, first of all. Somebody listening. Giving diligence, add to. For all these things be in you, they make you. And you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. I'm reading the word to you right now. 2 Peter, I don't know if you lost me or not. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You're not going to be able to see how much you need those things. Somebody help me. Well, I'm reading this, church, and it speaks to me when I open it up. And I begin to understand here that and has forgotten that he was purged from all his sins. Church, God doesn't want us to lose sight from how far he's brought us. He doesn't want us to lose sight, church, of how he's saved us and how he's healed us and how he's delivered us and how he has set us free and how he has blessed us. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Did you read that? If you do these things, you shall never fall. I believe God's trying to stabilize the church. He's trying to speak a word to the church today. I believe it's not just Grace Tabernacle. I believe this is the kind of word that he would love to get out on every church, on every corner in this country. I believe, church, that this is a word that he's wanting us to understand, church, our need to grow. I don't know about anybody else, church, but if you've come here this morning and you've come in distress or in debt or in discontent, just remember, you don't have to stay that way. Somebody listen to me. I won't be like those men that came to David. Just think about it. Rather be in the cave in an old, cold, musty, hard, dry, miserable, dark cave than be in the palace. Oh, I'd rather be in the cave with the anointing. I'd rather be in there with somebody that's going forward in the right direction. I'd rather be with somebody that's got the power of God on their life. I'd rather be with somebody that's out slaying giants than somebody that's sitting there hiding under a bush somewhere. Oh, come on, church. This is what God is looking for today. I believe that he's looking for the same kind of people. And if I got to go, church, and find him in a cave, that's where I'm going to find him. Because I'd rather be in the cave with the power of God, church, than in the grandest palace, than in the White House with Ichabod. It's just... Can I say this, church? I know that's going to be on YouTube and everything. I'd rather be in little old Grace Tabernacle on a Sunday morning. God said, add some of this to what you already have. Anybody listening to me? Add some of this to, add a little praise to what God has done for you. Somebody recognize what how good that the Lord has been to you and add a little praise to that. Somebody take the faith that God has given you, add a little diligence to that. Oh, I got faith, all right, and I'm going to dig in and I'm going to hold on and I'm not going to let go until he blesses me. I'm not letting go, Pastor, until I am filled up to the brim and running over with the power and the Spirit of God. I'm not going to stop until I receive every good thing that I know that he has for me. Somebody add that to your bucket list. You got your bucket list, all the things I want to do before I die. Anybody got one of those? No. All the things that, you know, a lot of people in the world do. They got a bucket list. We got a Bible list. Amen. Yeah. We put anybody still got your list? Oh, I still got mine in my Bible. You can add to those things. Add to those things as the Lord begins to deal with you and speak to you and encourage you about all the things that he has for you. Lord, I want that, and I want to see that. I want to see this person saved. I want to see that person healed. I want to see them set free. I want to see Ponca City have a revival. Come on, somebody. I'm not just talking about Grace Tabernacle. I said Ponca City. And if it's got to start in the cave on the corner of Coleman, let it start here. Yeah. I'd like to see 400 men come in here that are discontent. Yeah. A lot of people are sitting there just went, well, Pastor, where would we put them all? Yeah, we'll start having church outside if we have to. Listen to me. I remember when we had church in the parking lot. Oh, yeah. And do you know something, church? We had people in the parking lot in their cars honking the horns that don't come to church here. But they came to sit in their car and listen. Isn't that something? Well, people get hungry enough, they'll go anywhere. I have been in distress. I have been emotionally troubled by the enemy. Well, you know what, church? You just found the right place to come to. How many believe, church, that David wrote about it? He said, the Lord is my refuge. Yes. The cave Adullam. Adullam means refuge. And he comes to the point that he recognizes, church, the cave ain't going to do me no good if God ain't there. Somebody help me. I said, Grace Tabernacle ain't going to do you no good if God ain't here. We're just going to be another one of those country clubs sitting on the corner of Coleman. So, But when the Spirit of God is in a place, when the anointing is there, it's going to draw people. It's going to draw church. It will bring families back together again. Somebody listening to me. It will be people, bring people that are distressed emotionally, physically, financially. Wait a minute. I heard that God is in the cave. God is in the house. God is in somebody's home. God is in somebody's life. I want that. In God, church, and how's that ever going to happen if you don't grow? You got to grow to the point, church, that somebody else wants what you got. You can't sit, and I tell you what, because you know as well as I do that there are those that start off with God and end up losing everything that they had. Quiet in here. There are people, Jesus even talked about it. He said, one of the last signs, let me find it. Let me go back to Matthew 24. Hold on. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it now. Matthew 24, and it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Amen. Yes.
He's talking about here all the things. He said, you will hear wars and rumors of wars. He said, you'll see earthquakes in diverse places. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilence. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And because iniquity shall abound, that means lawlessness. Come on, somebody. That's the kind of defund the police thing. Because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Man. We got into a place right now, church, that the church is not the church that God wants us to be. This is what he's trying to show us here. I don't want you falling away. And in Revelation, he said there's going to be churches like that. He came to him and he said, I have something against you. You lost your first love. You started out with goals, with ideas. You started out with a vision. You started out with a dream. You started out with a list. And for some reason, you haven't added to.
Come on.
But it's been taken. You've fallen away. Anybody listen? If you have your list in your Bible still, when was the last time you were praying about those things? God, I still got some things on my list that I want to see you do. Come on, just because we come into a new year, we're expecting new things. Be the most productive year we've ever had. Anybody still there with me? For that to happen, church, we're going to have to grow. Spiritually. Come on. We got to get in there with God. We got to get a hold of God. We got to add to those things that cause us to grow. I know, church, how we come to God, but God don't want you to stay that way. Old things pass away. Old things become new. You become a new creature in Christ. This is something that God is trying to show us and reveal to us today. Bow your heads with me real quick. Father,